It's time. Do you like music, Mr. Finch?
That music.
Yes. His music.
It's the Stoner Jesus Show live, bitches!
Shit, bro. Holy shit. Not a good start. What the fuck? That was horrible. That was a horrible start. Stoner Jesus Show live on Facebook. This is number 3. Tech issue to start the show. It was technically my fault, even though I didn't know it was going to happen. Still my fault. I don't know, man. It's a rough way to start. I had the audio that I'm playing, like the music you just heard. It was coming out of the computer speakers instead of going through my headphones, which means it wasn't being heard by you people, which means it was going to be a big fuck up. So I went in and changed it. Then I had to reboot my software, my streaming software. Now the logo's all fucked up. I guess it could have been worse. I could have had to reload everything. But I didn't. So fucking auspicious start to the Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook. A lot of stuff going on tonight. Of course, brought to you by Kind Soil. We'll talk about them in a minute. We got Massroots senior political correspondent Tom Angel. I did an interview with him Friday. Talked about his background, stuff's going on in marijuana news, all that. We'll play that interview a little bit later. He's a founder of Marijuana Majority. All this is linked, by the way, in the Facebook post. And he has the most comprehensive marijuana newsletter in existence, marijuanamoment.net. Go check that shit out. We also have the Church of Stoner Jesus with your live call-in confessions. Hopefully that'll work well. We also got stories about giving oral sex via phone. You know, take that for what it's worth. Whatever. We'll also talk about Mark and Jody Emery. If you don't know who they are, they're Canadian cannabis activists. We'll talk about all that coming up. Also, some music, Falling Hits for Jesus, and Shinobi Ninja. We have a web wisdom video about the minimum wage. Classic Stoner Jesus bits from past podcasts and more. It's been one of those nights. If you want to see a fucking train wreck, you need to stay tuned. We had tech issues. Well, that was kind of user error. That was a bit my fault. We had that fucking problem. Hopefully we have no other problems. But maybe you do want to see problems. Maybe that'll be my thing. My thing that leads me to Facebook video live stardom is the guy who fucks up a lot. Like, you seen that guy? You seen that Stoner Jesus guy on Facebook? Man, he fucks up a lot. There was a lot of fucking up going on there. You got to check it out. It's Sunday nights at 9. Well, tune in to see what he fucks up. We have a voicemail from St. Peter coming up as well. If you don't know who St. Peter is, Doesn't matter. It doesn't. You're probably better off. You probably want to skip that part. When I say we're about to go to the voicemail from St. Peter, you might want to, you know, do something else for 2 minutes. You're probably better off. Not knowing who St. Peter is. All that is coming up. As I said, the MP3 version of this show is supposed to be on stonerjesus.net. That's where we do the podcast for cannabisradio.com. stonerjesus.net. That's where you can find all information on the show, as you can see in the little logo thing right there. So my plan was to put MP3 versions, audio versions of this show on stonerjesus.net where people could get it and it would feed to Stitcher or whatever, but that is not working. As of yet, it's not working. So, if you're looking for MP3 versions on stonerjesus.net, maybe they're coming. I don't know. You can find a YouTube version of this video as well as the Facebook live version and the, you know, on-demand archived version that's up on the Facebook page. We have a playlist as well on the Stoner Jesus Facebook page for these shows and other stuff. Go check that shit out. All the music played on this show, the Web Wisdom videos as well, they have their own playlist on our YouTube channel. The Stoner Jesus 420 on YouTube. Go check that out. Subscribe, whatever. If you're a YouTube type of person, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. Maybe you don't give a shit. Maybe you're saying, hey, dude, just fucking move on. First of all, don't cuss at me, man. That's not necessary. Be cool. We're all friends here. And second of all, you don't got to scream at me. I'm right here. I can hear you. So we're going to talk about Kind Soul in a minute. They're an awesome sponsor. Their banner's on stonerjesus.net. The voicemail from St. Peter. And I'll see if I can do this. Oh, got to turn up that sound, the system sound. I must fuck that up. But I didn't. Let the record show that I did not fuck that up. Anyway, here's the voicemail from St. Peter.
Hey, Jesus. It's St. Peter. That's what I call, like, leave a voicemail or whatever. I never seen a call when you're live. I don't know. I don't know what time it is right now. Somewhere out in the desert, I think. It's kind of hot. There's a lot of sand and shit. Sitting out in the desert somewhere. I don't know what state it's in. It don't matter. I've been watching your video show, man. It's horrible. It's horrible. You need to quit that shit. I think I told you that before. You need to quit that video show shit. Hold on, Jesus. All right, I'm back. Maybe my voice sounds better. I don't know. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, I'm in the desert, Jesus. I mean, I'm in Nevada. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Took some, like, weird, like, mushroom things these, like, Indian dudes gave me. I guess you can call them Indian dudes, too. I don't know. I don't know if I keep it up or what you're allowed to call people. But, like, these mushroom things, man, these Indian dudes gave me. I don't know why I've been in the desert, Jesus. Mostly I get cell reception, so I guess that's something. Right. So, yeah, I'll stop doing a video. Jesus, you look ridiculous. You look dumb. You have a stupid beard, like you're trying to look like Dave Letterman or something. You're not. You look stupid. I watched the video the other day. I was like, God damn, that's stupid. Why is he so stupid? So, yeah, that's it. Jesus, I'll call back some other time, I guess, whatever. You know? Oh, I'm tripping balls, Jesus. I'm tripping balls. Whoa. Whoa. Is he still on? Oh, my God. I'm freaking out, man. Is this my phone? Whose phone is this? I don't understand what's going on.
So there's St. Peter. Voicemail from St. Peter. For those of you, again, who are interested and give a shit. He's out west in the desert, he thinks. Look, first of all, Peter, Obviously, you're watching these videos. I don't need you calling in every week telling me that I look bad on Facebook. I mean, I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I think I'm doing pretty fucking good. First of all, I'm not doing bad. Mike in the chat room, Fremen Slayer from way back in the day, a fan of St. Peter's. He is St. Peter. That's 2 weeks in a row. He's at the goddamn voicemail giving me shit. I mean, that's just not necessary, man. I have self-esteem issues. And you exacerbate those self-esteem issues by leaving voicemails telling me that I look bad on Facebook. I should stick to radio. What guy tried sticking to radio? That didn't work. I said a million times, I will never, ever, 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 ever do video. Here I am on video. On Facebook, the social media platform I hate the most. You see what I'm dealing with here. Ross and Dave, thank you for liking the show. Anybody who tried to watch us at 9 o'clock, I'm sorry about the technical issues. We got that shit figured out. Hopefully, I believe, the time will tell as the show goes on. Kind Soil, awesome sponsor, shop.kindsoil.com. You see it there along the bottom. You see their logo right there. There's they have a banner on sternjesus.net. You can go check out as well. Never use nutrients again. If you go at Kind Soil on Twitter, they have all kinds of pictures and videos of people who have used Kind Soil. You don't need nutrients. You don't need anything else. All you need is Kind Soil. KindSoil.com or shop.kindsoil.com. Go check them out. Longtime sponsor of the Stoner Jesus Show podcast. Wake and Bake with Stoner Jesus on CannabisRadio.com. And now the Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook Live. They are awesome. Kind Soil. Go check them out. I'm giving them a high five. High five, Kind Soil. That was dumb. That was dumb. This is what I'm talking about. Now that's on video forever. Me high-fiving a fucking logo. That's on video forever. It can be played 10,000 years from now. If everybody's still here, they'll see me high-fiving the Kind Soil logo like some kind of fucking idiot. You need to quit while I'm ahead, man. You need to move on. We're going to go to break. Classic Stoner Jesus Show bit. I forget what it was. Hold on. A pig waste cologne. God, that was good. That was another redeeming moment in my life. It was a Stoner Jesus infomercial for a St. Peter product, Pig Waste Cologne. Later, we have the parody song, Bill Cosby Will Rape You. It's just all, it's all coming together. I'm building something I can be proud of. As I said, music tonight also from Bong Hits for Jesus and Shinobi Ninja. Also, Tom Angel, Master's Senior Political Correspondent, the marijuana journalist, man. He's breaking the stories, all that stuff. He's keeping track of the news for you, marijuanamoment.net. This is his marijuana newsletter. He's also a founder of the nonprofit advocacy group, Marijuana Majority. All that's linked to Facebook post. Check that shit out. And, well, we'll be back. Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook Live. It's March 12th, 2017. This is podcast number 3, or webcast number 3, or episode number 3. Whatever you want to call it. Call it that. Just don't call it late for dinner. See? This is what I'm dealing with. Now that's on video forever. Holy shit. I'm fucking moving on. I'm just moving on. Check this shit out. Classic Stoner Jesus Show bit. Some music. We'll be back. God damn. Fucking, it's almost too much to bear. Welcome back, everybody. Stoner Jesus Show live. It's time now again for one of our infamous infomercials. Yeah. As you know, St. Peter does not get paid to be on this show.
Yeah.
Rather, yeah, we do specials and we do infomercials to try to sell some of the crap that he's got coming out. And seeing as Christmas is coming up, a lot of people
it's
love
not
perfume
crap, Jesus.
And cologne for Christmas. So apparently Peter's come up with his own cologne. I have a little bottle of it right here.
It's good stuff.
Is this stuff supposed to be good,
good
Peter?
Stuff. Yeah, it's real good, Jesus. All right. Give it a shot. Check it out.
Let me see if, it's a very odd name. Let's see if I can get it.
Yeah.
Zvinya Othkhodov.
Zvinya Othkhodov.
Othkhodov.
Zvinya Othkhodov.
Zvinya Othkhodov.
Senior
something along those lines.
Senior of Cordova. That's right, Jesus.
I don't know. Let me spray a little bit and see if...
Try it.
What it's like. Oh, my God. What is that?
What's wrong, Jesus?
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Oh, my...
What's wrong? It's good, right? It's good, right?
Oh, my God. That is awful. What is that?
It's not awful. It's
cologne. No. It smells like
good.
Fried vomit that's like been filtered through like a screen made of human skin. What the fuck?
No, it's like flowers.
What the fuck does Vinya Othkodov mean?
It means flowers.
It smells like a garbage truck. Like it's been filled with liver and cabbage and just left like baking in the sun for 2 weeks. What the fuck?
Like a summer's breeze.
I'm gonna go check some things.
What are you doing?
What does Vinya Othkodov mean, Peter?
It means like flowers.
Oh, gosh,
or
not going away.
It's
not going away. It smells.
New car
smell. It smells like teen spirit.
Teen spirit?
It smells like teen spirit that someone took a shit on. What the fuck?
Teen
I'm
going to
find
right
out right
means.
Here, right now, what the
what
fuck this
What are you doing,
means.
Jesus? What are you doing? What are you doing
not
over
going
there?
Away. Oh, my God.
It's good, right? It's good. It smells great.
This, according to Google, Peter, Vinya Othkodov. Othkodov. Where the fuck it is? It means pig waste. It means pig waste in Russian.
Well,
is what that means.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Is this pig waste? Is this pig shit? Did I just spray pig shit on myself?
Yes, you did, Jesus. I got you.
Oh, my
God. I'm the prank master.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I'm the prank master.
Off. I get this thing off.
I'm the prank master. St. Peter is the shiznit. The shiznit. You sprayed yourself with pig shit.
Oh, yeah.
Pig shit.
That's a good one, Peter.
Yeah. It is good, Jesus.
That's a good one.
It is good. I'm awesome.
I must admit, you got me. You got me to spray pig shit on myself.
I got you.
That's pretty
hardcore. Spray pig shit on yourself.
That'll go down in the anals of the show.
In the anals.
God.
Pig waste.
That is so bad.
Svinyov Kudov.
So bad.
Svinyov Kudov.
Pig waste.
Pig waste.
It's pig waste in Russian. Did you go look up pig waste in Russian, or just to get a name for it?
Yeah, I did. Jesus actually took me like 6 hours to learn how to work Google. Yeah. It took forever, but I did it. I did it.
I'm
the best.
You did.
I'm the best prankster ever.
This is just a bottle of liquid pig waste.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
Wow. Let me put the cap back on
spray
that.
Bottle.
Oh,
it's ingenious, right? Even has the logo in there.
Yeah, you did it, Peter.
Svinyov Kudov.
You taught me a lesson. That's for sure.
Yeah. Don't mess with Peter.
Okay.
Don't mess with Peter, man.
We got more music.
Svinyov Kudov.
And comedy and then other stuff that's coming up. I don't
know. Svinyov Kudov.
Oh, man. That's not going away.
I'm the prank master.
That's not going away. I threw that shirt clear across the room.
I'm the prank master.
That's not going away.
That's right, Jesus.
We're going to have to fumigate or something. I can't do this.
Fumigate.
You remember the B.O. episode of Seinfeld? That's what it's like.
I don't
like.
Know what that means.
It's like it's growing. It's like a presence all its own.
Oh, okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man, you got me, Peter.
I got you.
You got me. That is awesome.
I got you.
We'll be back
after
this. Stern Jesus Show Live.
Svinyov Kudov.
the bong. Let me get a bong, hey. Let me get a bong hit. That shit can't go wrong.
Looking good, bro. What's that, the mirror suit?
I love
yeah,
it. Dude.
Yeah, give me a peepee touch. Dude. There you go.
Touching my peepee with
it. Where's your ladies at, dude?
Come I don't on. Know. I haven't seen you doing pretty well for yourself.
Where the fuck are your ladies at, man?
Hell yeah, man. Bong Hits for Jesus. Awesome band. Welcome back, everybody, to the Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook Live. Number three. The third installment of what's sure to just become an epic thing. I guess we'll see. Still have an interview coming up that I did Friday with Massroots senior political correspondent Tom Angel, founder of Marijuana Majority. Check out his marijuana newsletter. If you want to keep up with all the marijuana news you need, you'll feel like going and searching all that bullshit. MarijuanaMoment.net. Go check it out. MarijuanaMoment.net. Subscribe to the email newsletter. It's free. Go share it with your homies. Whatever. Check it out. We'll talk with Tom. Or I'll play the interview, rather, with Tom. Coming up. Right now, we got some shit to talk about. The first is going to be the Church of Stoner Jesus. I don't have any opening graphics or anything. I probably should. Been good. Impressive. People would have been like, yeah, man, I'm impressed. This time for the Church of Stoner Jesus, I'm calling your confessions. 1-347-414-WEED. We'll do today's sermon. Which is fairly easy. We do this on the Stoner Jesus Show podcast. We do the Church of Stoner Jesus. It's a little more elaborate than this. Like I said, there's opening music and all that shit. But here's the thing. Many of the sermons I've done there, I'll be doing here as well, because we're going to get to a wider audience. And these are things you need to know. This is important stuff. Tonight's no different. A lot of them are short and simple. Like this one. We have a lot of problems. At least we think we do. A lot of you out there listening to any of this or watching this, you're watching it on Facebook, on your phone, your tablet, or your computer. You really think that you have a lot of problems in your life. And this may sound trite. This may sound cliched, whatever. Your fucking time's running out, man. Now, I appreciate you taking some of your time to waste watching me on Facebook for some reason. Why you would do that, I have no idea. But that is your choice. And I appreciate that you have made that choice. But your time is running out. I don't want to sound like a fucking doom and gloom type of dude, but it is. I'm sorry. That shit we put in the Bible about everlasting life and all that, that was to sell books. It was to sell copy. That was a fucking Barnes & Noble's pressured us on that. Your fucking time's running out. I'm sorry. I don't want to be Debbie Downer. Do something more. Of course, I don't mean, you know, watching this show. Because it's Sunday night, you're fucking resting, whatever. You're blazing up. That's great. You're chilling with us. That's awesome. But a lot of other areas of your life, You know as well as I do that you're wasting fucking time. What are you doing? Nothing. You're doing nothing, goddammit. Sorry to be so harsh. Let's call it tough love. That's what sermons are. They're tough love. If you want to call in your confession, 1-347-414-WEED. It's right there at the bottom. Make sure I do have the phone lines open. It's important. Don't fuck that up. Fuck the whole thing up. Those of you out there, you call in and be absolved of your sins live on the air. I will absolve you. And it'll be a beautiful thing. You can get some off your chest. We don't have to, you don't have to say your name. You can be anonymous. I'm not going to put your number up there or anything. As long as I don't fuck it up and put it on the screen. No, I won't do that. So call in your confessions, 1-347-414-WEED. Anyway, back to the sermon. Think of the stuff you waste time with. Think of the stuff you waste time worrying about and complaining about. Complaining is one of those things that's a time waster. Complain about all kinds of shit. Your phone's not charged, or you got some other fucking perceived problem, when in fact, in reality, you have no problems. Not in comparison to other people. Sure, they seem big to you, but is it really big enough to waste so much time on? Complaining, worrying, stressing. Does it rise to that level of being that important? I don't know. It's a rhetorical question. You got to answer that shit. I can't answer that shit for you. I can only do so much. I'm only one man. You have to ask yourself, what are you fucking wasting time with? Me? What am I wasting time with? You're looking at it. You see what I waste my time with? It comes with graphics and shit. What are you wasting time with? I would say call in and tell me, but I don't care. But do call in with your confessions if you want to. I know people are watching. I can see it. I can see you motherfuckers. Call me, Holmes. I mean, see, again, that's on video forever. What I just did. Made the call me sign to people. Shit's off the rails, man. It's off the rails. It does not surprise me. But anyway, you can call in, like I said, with your confessions or what the fuck ever. I don't care. I'm moving on. We got stories to talk about. Matter of fact, I'm taking this little crawl off here. Fuck you. You don't need the number anymore. You don't get the number. I've taken it from you. Maybe you remember it. I don't know. Pretty easy number. You'll know how much fucking trouble I went through on Skype to get that number. And it's really, 347-414-WEED is not that great to begin with. DJ in the chat area said, what kind of confessions? Don't matter. Anything you want to get off your chest. Obviously, if it's entertaining and or shocking or something, that would be better, but it doesn't have to be. It could be anything. We've had the mundane. We had a girl call in that says she ran over somebody with a mountain bike. She felt bad because she ran somebody down with her mountain bike on a trail and kept riding. I shouldn't laugh. I'm sorry. But it's funny. It wasn't funny for the woman who got ran over, but there it is. Fuck, man. So anyway, we got some stories and shit to talk about. Where's the first one? Holy shit. The oral phone. That's right. You heard me. Oh, let's go play a video. I remember they playing this video when I saw it the first time. I don't think the video has anything to do with anything. That certainly doesn't have anything to do with the fucking oral sex by phone. That's for sure. Anyway, we transition smoothly. Now you can give oral sex long distance by licking your phone. Smartphones allow people to check sports scores, send email, and watch cat videos almost anywhere. They can now also allow you to perform cunnilingus just by licking your phone. That's the idea behind Ocast, a new digital marketplace that allows people to upload simulated oral sex sessions that can be then downloaded onto a vibrator via Bluetooth. This is what I'm talking about. The amazingness going on in life. You're letting it pass you by. You can upload simulated oral sex sessions, then someone download it onto a vibrator via Bluetooth. Okay, spokesman. That's what this world is now. Darren Press says his product is sort of an iTunes for oral sex, since the plan is to offer all sorts of different tongue patterns for download at the website. And there you see. As you're watching the video, you can see what they're talking about. People spend time developing this. Smart people. People with many, many college degrees with many letters after names. They're on this shit. You have no idea. Apparently it works like this. One person downloads a web app that records vibratory patterns made by licking the phone screen. You can also use your finger, but telling people to lick the phone helps the clickbait, Press told HuffPost. If your phone screen is clean, you should be okay. I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be looking at the phone screen. Of course, something tells me that I'm not the target audience for this. When you use your finger or tongue, those patterns last up to 60 seconds in length. They can be anything from circles, straight lines, or even the alphabet. Yeah, little shout out to Sam Kinison. Those vibratory patterns are then connected via Bluetooth to the Lush, a remote control vibrator that sells for $100 a pop. Hey, man, more power to you. Press says the plan... it's to provide a place where men and women can record their oral techniques so it can be sampled and hopefully appreciated by the world at large. So you can put a pattern up there and a bunch of people can download it and you can be licked by Stoner Jesus. Wow, I'm starting to warm up to this idea. I think I can do something with this. He says the touchy technology was tested with the help of Cam models working at his other business, Cam Soda, an adult entertainment website. He was surprised at what he discovered from the hands-on research. They gravitated toward the higher vibrations, Press said. I don't think they'd want a product that vibrates so aggressively. When I hold it, I can feel the vibes down my forearm. Adult entertainer Charlie Hart tested out the product and was impressed by the results. I loved it, she told HuffPost. Nothing is like the real thing, but it's great when the other person is far away. I'd like to look into this. There's anybody watching from... one of the OCAST. I like to make a pattern, and it'd be like when they're like when you get the app, it'd be like, "Hey, you want to be licked by Stoner Jesus? Here you go." I can lick the alphabet. And I can spell out words. Like, go check out the Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook, and then it would lick those letters. God damn, that would be. Oh, I have so many ideas. Maybe they're not good ideas. But they are ideas. We have one more story before we go to break. We got an interview with Tom Angel, as I said, coming up. Maybe you may be familiar with the saga of Mark and Jody Emery and what they've been going through as of late. And they're famous in the cannabis community and the activism community. Dawn joining us in the chat area. Barbarita, DJ, everybody, welcome to the show. Like I said, we got Tom Angel coming up. The interview, also some more music, classic Stoner Jesus Show bit, web wisdom video, all that stuff. As I said, one more story. What's going on with Mark and Jody Emery? They've been ordered to cease operations of cannabis culture. As way of a little background for those of you who don't know, Mark Emery is a longtime activist in Canada. He sold a lot of seeds. He donated a lot of money to activism and causes and things of that nature. Millions and millions of dollars. He sold millions of seeds across the border from Canada to the United States. For many years, the United States tried to extradite Mark and a couple of his associates into the United States to serve time. What ended up happening after about a 10-year fight against extradition, he finally gave in. He was brought to the United States. He spent 5 years in federal prison in the United States and then was released back to Canada. When he went back to Canada, he kept running cannabis culture. Cannabis culture started opening a bunch of pot shops, retail shops, whatever, all over Canada, which is illegal. Now, a couple things I want to make clear before I talk about this story. First of all, what they did was illegal. What they did was clearly illegal. They call it civil disobedience, whatever. We'll get into that in a minute. And we'll get into Justin Trudeau and Canadian legalization and all that. But first, I want to say this. I have, in the interest of full disclosure, I have personal reasons to dislike Mark Emery. It has to do with a friend of mine on Facebook. Her mom was dying of cancer. He made remarks to the effect that people with cancer especially old people with cancer, shouldn't keep fighting it and using them resources that could be better used for younger people. And they should just kind of give up and move on. I took issue with that for many reasons. First of all, it's a stupid thing to say. You don't get to decide how much someone fights for their own life. It was also a stupid thing to say to this girl who supposedly he's friends with and has supported him for many years, to say while her mom is going through cancer and dying, for to say something so fucking irresponsible and stupid to her, it pissed me off. I did a big rant about it on the podcast and all that. I'm sure if you search Mark Emery on StonerJesus.net, you can find the show. So I have reason to dislike Mark Emery. That's why I don't promote anything cannabis culture related. And I haven't since that time. But I also say this. Even though what they did was illegal, there's a point to be made about the civil disobedience aspect of it. But more than that, and we'll get into the story here in a minute. More than that, it proves that Justin Trudeau, he supports legalization, but Justin Trudeau doesn't support legalization because it's the right thing to do. He doesn't support it because people who are not infringing on the rights of anyone else shouldn't be punished for that choice. He's not doing it so people are not punished for their choice of medicine. He's not doing it so people are kept out of jail. Justin Trudeau's interest in legalization is controlling it. That's why he gets so pissed off. He's like, cops, you know, you need to do your job. You need to enforce these laws. Legalization is coming, but it has to be done his way. All the I's have to be dotted. All the T's have to be crossed. Very government, bureaucratic, red tape, robotic-like. And what the plan is, I don't know. Maybe they're planning on for the government to sell weed. Maybe they're planning only specific companies to sell weed. But they've taken this all these resources to go after Mark Emery and Jody Emery and put them in jail, even though what they're doing is going to be legal sometime in the near future. Something makes him have such a fucking problem with that. And the Canadian authorities have such a problem with that, that they'll go after these people. Here's what happened. And they've gone beyond, you know, just arresting them. As you'll see, Mark and Jody Emery have been ordered to cease operating their cannabis culture dispensary business after they were arrested Wednesday at Pearson Airport while on their way to catch a flight to Barcelona. Jody said Saturday in a phone call from Toronto. Emery said they were taken into custody by plainclothes officers as they exited an Uber vehicle and were later strip searched and detained. She described their treatment by police as, quote, disturbing and shocking, and said they were only permitted to speak with lawyers hours after the arrest. We've literally been stripped naked in the strip search and stripped of everything we've built, everything we've worked so hard for all these years, Emery said. The following day, police in Toronto, Hamilton, Ontario, and Vancouver executed 11 search warrants, while three of the Emery's associates in cannabis culture were also arrested. The five defendants were charged Thursday with a range of counts, including drug trafficking and conspiracy to commit an indictable offense. Emery described the conditions handed to her and her husband as onerous. The Vancouver couple are now required to stay and live in Ontario, though Jody may visit her home city, which is Vancouver, with court permission. This is obviously, there's some sort of political motivation here. There's a message being sent that you're going to do it our way. Now, I understand. Yes, it's illegal. They're doing illegal things. I get it. They're doing illegal shit. The point is this. Why waste so much time on it? I mean, I don't live in Canada. Maybe Canada is crime-free. I don't know. Maybe all the murders and the rapes and the robberies in Canada have been solved. So now they can say, you know what? All the Mounties or whatever, We're all there. They got nothing to do. All the crime's been solved. They say, here we go. There's some people selling weed. There's open, reputable businesses selling weed in plain view. We got it. We're going to nip that in the bud. You know, all the, everything's been solved. All the fucking murder, everything. All the bacon robberies. Everything is going on. That's it. They've solved it all. So now they can move on to Mark and Jody Emery. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like a fucking waste of time. A serious waste of time and resources. But hey, man, that's what they got going on in Canada. There's nothing I can do about it. That's for sure. We got an interview with Tom Angel coming up. We recorded Friday. I'll be back to wrap things up as well. We got some more music coming up. Classic Stoner Jesus Show bits, web wisdom video, all that. Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook Live. Number 3. And we'll be back, yo. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Bill Cosby. Let's do this. Rape you. Rape you, Bill Cosby will rape you, and maybe rape you some more. You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one. Bill Cosby will drug you, maybe do it again, then he'll fuck you, without your consent. You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one. His favorite method of banging means you won't know what's happening. You're unconscious so you can't say stop. He'll fuck you with a frozen pudding pop.
You know anything about Spanish fly?
Rape you. Rape you. Bill Cosby will rape you. And maybe rape you some more. You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one.
He's raped.
You're not the only one. Bill Cosby will rape you. 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 Bill Cosby will rape you. Don't rape me, Mr. Cosby. I'm sorry.
Oh, shit. Welcome back, everybody. Again, having problems with the fucking YouTube video. Uploading the YouTube video. Same problem I had last week. Having it again. Won't fucking do it. Holy shit. This shit's never ending, man. Trying to play Shinobi Ninja. God damn. I think it's so difficult. Holy crap, here we go.
Last seat on the bus to nowhere, sneaking through the back, no fear. No bag skin, I just wear. I don't care, lady, I don't care. Open lens and trust is not there. Destination just is not fair. I can't bear, I can't bear. Take me into the black, I don't fear. The body's on the ground. Out the skin we once bared. The wall cracks, covering up nails. I won't swear, I promise I won't swear. Ashes dried away with one tear. And all foundation lost in mid-air. No bag skin, I just wear. I don't care, lady, I don't care.
Welcome back, everybody. Stoner Jesus Show on Facebook Live. On Skype right now, we have Tom Angel. He's the senior political correspondent for Massroots, the social media network. He also has the best, most comprehensive media marijuana newsletter in the world, MarijuanaMoment.net, if you want to go subscribe. And, of course, the founder of Marijuana Majority as well. Thanks for being on the show, Tom.
Thanks so much for having me. It's good to talk with you.
No problem. As we were saying before we got going, we've, you know, known each other, quote unquote, online for quite a few years and emailed a lot, but we've never actually spoken together and you've never been on the show. So explain to people a little bit how you became a marijuana reporter.
Well, I've been working in the marijuana policy reform movement mostly as an activist for about 15 years now. I started back in the early 2000s, by founding a chapter of Students for Sensible Drug Policy, where I went to college. And, you know, ran that chapter for a few years, got involved in some efforts to change state policies in my home state of Rhode Island. We succeeded in passing a medical marijuana bill through the legislature there. When I graduated from college, I actually went to work at the national headquarters of Students for Sensible Drug Policy, helping to organize students on campuses around the country and around the world. Did that for about 4 years, over which time I mostly focused on media relations and PR and really just trying to convince journalists to cover our voices, to cover our arguments about the need to change these harmful drug policies. I also did a little bit of congressional lobbying during my time at SSTP. And then after about 4 years, you know, I started to say, well, I'm getting a little older now. Maybe it's time for me to work at a non-student organization. And I was lucky enough that Law Enforcement Against Prohibition was looking to hire a media director. And so I joined the staff of LEAP and then worked for about four years again, trying to get the voices of cops, judges, and prosecutors represented in the media. And then after some time, I decided to start my own organization called Marijuana Majority. That was back in 2012, and I've been running that ever since. And more recently have come at the whole question of how marijuana is covered in the media from the other side of the equation by actually being a journalist and breaking stories my own, first for marijuana.com, which is owned by Weedmaps, and then more recently I joined the staff of Massroots, where I'm now the senior political correspondent. So I still continue to be an activist and an advocate and to talk with other journalists and try to help shape their mainstream coverage of this issue. But I also am now a journalist, too.
Yeah, it's it's definitely an interesting time. I've been writing about marijuana since, I guess, 2009. And I never really came at it as like a – I really don't consider myself a journalist. I'm more of a – just a guy who writes and knows a lot about weed and has a lot of opinions on it. So luckily that I've been able to do a lot of freelance writing work the last several years, and that's how, you know, you and I got to know each other. And it's been even if you look back a few years ago, it's incredible the speed at which everything's happened. I don't think anybody back then really thought that everything was going to come so quickly. And it's easy now to kind of take it for granted and think that, oh, well, you know, more should have been done by now, but people forget 5-6 years ago, like when Prop 19 went down in California, things didn't look good, and it's just mm-hmm. it's been an incredible few years.
That's exactly right, Joe. You know, and it's funny. I mentioned briefly that I used to do Capitol Hill lobbying for SSDP when I was on the staff there in D.C. And you know, back then we weren't even. You know, of course, it was part of our agenda to legalize marijuana and to talk about ending prohibition of other drugs, but we really mostly spent much of our time focused on trying to enact very incremental changes to federal law. For example, we were trying to repeal a federal law that denies college financial aid to students with drug convictions, which is really just the stupidest policy you could enact if you're concerned about you know, the harms associated with drug misuse, you know, removing someone's access to education and their ability to better themselves, you know, is really just a very self-defeating policy. But even when working on that very narrow, very incremental, eminently sensible change, I would have members of Congress and their staffers take me aside and say, listen, you know, I agree with you 100%. This law is stupid and we need to get rid of it. But I cannot say that in public because I'll be attacked as soft on drugs and soft on crime. And drug policy is such a marginalized third rail issue. And, you know, I really don't want to stick my neck out. And, you know, now fast forward to 2017. Marijuana legalization itself is way more popular than, you know, any member of Congress is. And now we have lawmakers knocking on our doors, trying to get our attention and, you know, trying to get the industry to hold fundraisers for them. You know, so that's just, you know, all by way of saying, yes, a lot has changed in recent years. You know, when I used to tell people what I do for a living, they just laugh at me and say, ha ha ha. That's never going to happen, man. Well, guess what? It happened, and it is happening.
Absolutely. So, obviously, the big news the last couple months in the cannabis community, marijuana reform, whatever. The Trump administration comes in. Jeff Sessions is Attorney General. What's been your take over the last couple months about what he's doing and what he's going to do?
Well, in a word, uncertainty. You know, we really just still don't know what they will or won't do. Now, to be sure, the Attorney General and the White House press secretary have made a number of concerning remarks in recent weeks, talking about, quote unquote, greater enforcement and expressing opposition to the policy of legalization and revealing, frankly, ignorance on the science of marijuana. But all that being said, we really just don't know what they're going to do. The Cole memo remains live on the Department of Justice website, at least as of now. I've been clicking refresh on that several dozen times a day just to make sure it's still there. And of course, during the presidential campaign, Donald Trump himself repeatedly pledged that he would respect state marijuana laws, even if he personally doesn't agree with legalization. And he also personally does support medical marijuana. My best analysis, in terms of predicting what might happen, and of course you can't, we just don't know. But I just, even if Jeff Sessions does really want to crack down on state marijuana laws because he hates them so much, I just think other people higher up in the administration and the key White House staff, if they look at this from a political lens, they'll realize that this is a fight that they just don't want to pick. We're way more popular than they are. The president clearly made these campaign pledges. The polls are showing that 71% of Americans support letting states set their own marijuana laws without federal interference, and that includes a clear majority in every single political, age, and racial demographic. The people are with us. The administration has enough problems as it is. I think there are a lot of other issues that they care way more about than this one. And so, if I were them, and of course I'm not them, I would just look at this and say, this is a fight we really just don't want to pick right now. This will create huge political problems and distract from everything else we care way more about. Now, all that being said, to perhaps undercut my own analysis a little bit, I don't know how much we can totally count on the Trump administration to make a smart political analysis. It really remains to be seen. And that's, the scariest thing is just the continuing uncertainty. It rubs me the wrong way a little bit when some people in the movement act like war has already been declared on state marijuana laws, when in fact, concerning remarks have been made, but no policy declaration has actually been made. I think that's not a smart political move for us to sort of take the position that, they are coming after us because we just don't know. And on the other side of the coin, there are some industry outfits that have, I think, tried to play it a little too calmly and, sort of pretend like everything is totally fine. And like I've been, repeating over and over again, we just don't know yet.
Yeah, I think a couple things. Well, obviously, the Trump administration doesn't seem shy from picking fights, whether it's with Democrats or the CIA or anybody. But it seems like, at least to me, that a lot of people in the Trump administration, and maybe Trump himself, you can never tell, are still just like feeling things out, trying to get their footing, and they're being hit from all sides. And I've seen a lot of your reporting, everybody else reporting, of course, about the trial balloon, and they're kind of putting these things out there to see what the reaction is, and that we need to give them the reaction that, it deserves, saying this is a lot of state lawmakers have said the same thing. If it comes, we're going to fight it. And I think that's probably the best tactic to take at this point, to show them that this is just not, just move on. I've been saying this before the election, saying, if Trump wins, the best thing we can hope for is that they move on to other things. And just don't worry about us. Let the states do what they're going to do or not do. If a bill, comes across your desk, sign it and move on, you know, relax laws or whatever. But just, I can't see them giving a lot of time to this. And if they did, I would think early on that they would realize that it's just, there's too many fronts that they're already fighting on. It's too much to take on, at least, maybe wishful thinking too. So,
no, I think that's pretty much where I come down on it too. You know, and you mentioned this sort of trial balloon idea, and that's how I've been trying to look at it over the past few weeks as these concerning comments have been made from key administration officials. You know, like I said, they haven't said we are coming after you, but they've made these signals like we might be thinking of it, and so that's why I think it's been so good that, as you alluded to, there are a number of officials in states who have legalization laws that have said, you know, we're putting together a legal strategy to defend our law if they do come for us. And I think even more than that has been key pushback from key members of Congress, including at least four Republican United States senators who last week signed various letters or made comments to the media saying that we don't want the Trump administration to break these campaign promises and start coming after these state laws. So I think, you know, it's good to have this conversation in the mainstream media, you know, to get people wondering, is a crackdown coming? What would it look like? What would the implications be? Because there are now so many important and influential voices having an opportunity to weigh in and say, yeah, no, that wouldn't be good. Don't do that. So I really do hope the administration takes it into account.
Absolutely. So as far as the states go, obviously last November, a lot happened on election night. And from somebody on the outside looking in, over the next few months after that, they would get the impression that it kind of pissed off a lot of state lawmakers. And a lot of state lawmakers decided that I don't care what people voted for. You know, that's not my concern right now. Like, for example, what happened in Massachusetts, like over the holidays, a couple of legislators get together and they decide, well, we're going to delay retail sales for 6 months. And just things like that have been going on all kinds of, in just about every state that's had a voter approved marijuana law in the last couple months. What's your take on that? Why is this inevitable pushback from these people, or are they pissed off about something passing that they didn't like? What's going on with that?
That's a really good question. And I won't purport to know the answer to it, but it is a serious problem. You know, we passed a number of ballot measures in November, and in not every single one of those states, but I think in most of them, we've seen lawmakers push back and either try to delay implementation or scale back the scope of those laws. As you mentioned, in Massachusetts, they've succeeded in delaying the implementation. Similar move in Maine, where voters also approved legalization. In North Dakota, they haven't fully figured it out yet, but legislation is moving to seriously scale back the scope of the medical marijuana measure that voters there approved. Similarly, in Arkansas and in Florida, and in some of the other states too. I'm actually kind of mystified by it, to be honest, because, you know, while prior to the election, you know, you could excuse a lawmaker, even if they're wrong, for trying to say, hey, voters, you know, I think this would be a mistake to do it. Please don't do it. But after the voters have already been spoken, it just strikes me as a really dumb political move to, you know, say I'm going to step in the way of what the voters have decided to do. And to be candid, I actually haven't broken those vote results down on a district by district basis to see if, you know, perhaps some of those lawmakers who are more vocal about trying to scale back the ballot measures, maybe the initiatives didn't do so well in their own districts, and so they're not as concerned about it. But still, it raises the question about why their colleagues in the legislature would, you know, go along with efforts to overturn what voters in their own districts have approved. So it's a problem. I don't know the solution to it. I don't know why it's happening. But I think as we, you know, as we go forward in more and more election cycles and get more and more victories on the board, it will be harder for lawmakers to do that. And also, you know, let's keep in mind, like, if need be, you know, if lawmakers screw things up too much, even though it's expensive, we always do have the option of going back to the ballot if we need to.
Yeah, it's definitely an odd thing, and it's something, if you cover, I guess, anything politically, you notice that politicians, there's a huge learning curve as far as how long they're delayed in catching up with what people want. But like you said, the numbers are there. Maybe they're better in their districts, but overall, it doesn't seem like something that – it doesn't seem like, again, the fight that they want to pick. This is not the time to go after them.
The other thing that I would just take a second to point out is, you know, in full acknowledgement, ballot initiatives are not an ideal way to create public policy. You know, it's just an organization writes something, they put it on the ballot, and the voters say yes or no. Whereas with the legislative process, you know, you have hearings and you have stakeholders representing multiple views come together, and there's an amendment process. And, you know, the idea, at least in theory, is that in the legislative process, you hear a number of voices, make compromises, and then you get a piece of legislation that as many people as possible can agree to. The thing that's important to remember is that lawmakers had years and decades to go through this process and to legalize marijuana or medical marijuana in a way that they thought was appropriate, but they failed to do so. And that's why we had to go to the ballot and take measures into our own hands and bring things directly to the voters. And so, you know, perhaps one silver lining from some of this pushback we're seeing in state legislatures and places that have already passed ballot measures is maybe lawmakers in other places will say, hey, let's take a couple of months and let's hold some hearings and have a serious conversation about what we want marijuana laws to look like in our states before the marijuana legalization movement and the industry puts their perfect version on the ballot. You know, maybe we'll, over the next few years, few legislative sessions, we'll start to see some lawmakers actually passing legalization bills for the first time. And, you know, indeed, there's a chance that that could happen this year in places like Rhode Island and Connecticut and Delaware and Vermont and others.
Yeah, and as the problem with a lot of state legislators is they and the reason it's not more popular, legalization, that is, in more states, is the pressure that the federal government and federal law puts on all the states by having it, you know, Controlled Substances Act, all that. What's some of the stuff that the U.S. Congress is doing and the feds are doing that people can get behind and call their senators or their congressmen or whatever to support and get things moving more on a federal level?
Yeah, indeed. Although the 115th Congress just convened at the beginning of January, there are already a number of really good standalone marijuana bills that have been filed with bipartisan support. For example, there is a bill filed by Republican Congressman Thomas Garrett of Virginia that would completely deschedule marijuana and remove it from the Controlled Substances Act so that states would be able to move forward and set their own policies without federal interference. And there's another proposal from Congressman Dana Raubacher of California, also a Republican, which is somewhat different in the specifics, but pretty similar in the impact in terms of amending the Controlled Substances Act to exempt state legal marijuana activity. Both of those bills have pretty substantial bipartisan co-sponsor lists. And so I would encourage people to go to my organization, Marijuana Majority's Action Alert we have, which is at marijuanamajority.com/respectstates. Where you can just type in your address and automatically send a letter to your member of Congress telling him or her to support those bills. Also, in addition to proposals that have already been introduced, there's a new bipartisan group of lawmakers that has been formed to specifically focus on building support in Congress for marijuana reform. And that's called the Cannabis Caucus, founded by Congressman Raubacher, along with Congressman Jared Polis of Colorado, Don Young of Alaska, and Earl Blumenauer of Oregon. They just rolled that out a couple weeks ago. And they're trying to get more members of Congress to come to the table and sit down and say, let's craft smart policy that will work for as many of our states and districts as possible. And similarly, Marijuana Majority has an action alert about that, too, where you can write to your member of Congress and ask him or her to join that caucus. And that's at marijuanamajority.com/caucus.
Awesome. So, yeah, definitely everybody get on that. And as I've said many times before on this show and the podcast and elsewhere, if all you can do is get your voice out there on the Internet, if you're not one of those people that, you know, is going to go to a march or a hearing or whatever, do what you can. And, you know, the Internet's made things so simple and so easy. In just a couple of clicks, you can get things in front of just so many people. And it's, you know, if that's, like I said, if that's the least you can do, at least do that and at least make your voice heard and let politicians and everyone else know that there's a lot of us out here, you know, we're, mm-hmm. And you know, we want this changed. So, Tom, yeah. You're obviously online a ton of places at Tom Angel on Twitter. You said Marijuana Majority. Where else can people find you? And tell us more about your newsletter, too, which I read every day. And if you want to know about marijuana news and keep up on it, I would suggest everybody else subscribe. Tell us about all that.
Thanks. So before I do that, just to jump on something sure. you just said about the importance of taking action and making your voices heard by lawmakers, the thing that I always like to remind people is that although our movement seems to and indeed does have a lot of momentum behind it right now, the simple fact is that marijuana is not going to legalize itself. It does take a movement, and it takes support from people like those who are taking the time to listen to this podcast and watch this video right now. So do your part, because marijuana isn't going to legalize itself. Now, as to your question, I'm on Twitter at Tom Angel. There are two L's at the end of Angel. I'm the founder and chairman of Marijuana Majority. That's a nonprofit that seeks to really let lawmakers know that this is a mainstream issue with majority support behind it. And on our website, marijuanamajority.com, we really basically just feature a huge wall of prominent people and organizations that already are speaking out about this and are being praised for it and not attacked, really just in an effort to encourage more prominent people to do so, to join the movement and add their voices to this debate in a positive way. I'm also, as I said, a senior political correspondent for Mass Roots. That's at massroots.com. Pretty much every weekday, I'm trying to file a story, breaking news about marijuana policy, really trying not to just like reblog things that have already been reported elsewhere. I'm really trying to uncover documents, scientific studies, new bills that have just been filed, or, you know, weird remarks that a lawmaker has made during a committee hearing. You know, I'm really just scouring the web pretty much all day, every day, trying to find interesting developments that most people haven't noticed yet. So check out the blog at massroots.com to take a look at some of my reporting. And then, as you mentioned, I recently started my own new daily marijuana newsletter called Marijuana Moment, and that really is just sort of a continuation and expansion of my other efforts with Mass Roots and Marijuana Majority, and really is just a daily, comprehensive, concise email that you'll get every weekday morning that really just lays out pretty much everything you need to know about what's going on in marijuana policy. There's a committee hearing in this state, or this federal bill was just introduced, this scientific study, just revealed these implications for marijuana on health. This celebrity just said something funny or interesting about marijuana. You know, I'm really just trying to put everything in one place so it's easy for people to stay up to date about what's happening, because frankly, there is a lot going on right now. It's very hard to keep track of all the legislation that's been introduced and is being voted on. And so if you want to subscribe to that, go to marijuanamoment.net.
Absolutely. I would if somebody wants to keep up on that kind of stuff, I'm someone who follows it and has been following the news for years. And there's a ton of stuff I see every day that I don't see anywhere else in your newsletter. So everybody get on that. Tom Angel, thank you for being on the show, for all you do for the movement. And we'd love to have you back on, you know, not, you know, regularly, but, you know, every 4 to 6 weeks or whatever to just, you know, update people on what's going on and get them active, get them moving, get them pumped up, whatever we can do. We'd love to have you back.
Right back at you, my friend. Thank you so much for all you do and for giving me the opportunity to chat to your audience for a few minutes. And, you know, I'll just say it one more time. Marijuana is not going to legalize itself. So get involved, everybody.
Absolutely.
I'll talk to you soon.
Back to work. Thanks, Tom.
All right.
Have a good one. That was my interview with Tom Angel. We did that Friday. Awesome dude. Like I said, go check out all that stuff. David in the chat area, want to talk about Ohio medical marijuana. We are way over time, but if you want to email me at sternjesus420@gmail.com, you know, or like we're here every Sunday night at 9 p.m. You want to call in, you know, earlier in the show, I'd be glad to talk about it. All things weed. But right now, we got to get the fuck out of here. We got to play the Web Wisdom video. Tonight's Web Wisdom video is about the minimum wage. Minimum wage. Basically, the Web Wisdom video is at the end of every show. You can watch it or not. It doesn't matter. There's nothing after. You're not going to miss anything. Maybe get you to look at a political issue or a subject in a different way, at a different angle, get you outside your echo chamber, whatever you want to call it. Tonight's the minimum wage and what raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour would do is basic supply and demand. I mean, if you raise the price of labor relative to everything else, and everything else stays the same, then demand for it is going to go down. But check that out. Joe Destruction checking in as well. Thank you, everybody. Brandon, everybody who liked the show, shared the show. Huge night. Record fucking numbers of people coming in. It's awesome. Check out this video. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to attempt to... I'm going to attempt to play this video. Now, I've had some problems with the YouTube videos getting them to play, but this seems like it's going to work. So here we go. Check it out. Peace, bitches.
While some say a higher minimum wage drives employers to hire fewer people, others argue it will help struggling workers financially without affecting employment. Only 2 states and a handful of cities have passed laws to increase minimum wages to $15. A $15 minimum wage won't wipe out brands, but it will impact independently owned franchises and young workers looking for employment. For example, nearly 90% of McDonald's locations are independently owned. They keep roughly 6 cents per sales dollar after paying for food, staff costs, rent, and other expenses. A typical McDonald's franchisee sells $2.6 million of product a year. That leaves roughly $156,000 in profit. With 15 part-time employees at $15 an hour, 3/4 of the profits are spent on wages. Higher product costs could make up for some lost revenue, but customers are notoriously sensitive to price increases, and the hikes would likely not bring in enough. Moreover, if those employers are McDonald's or Walmart, that could again burden disadvantaged families, since they are the ones who eat and shop there. Here are some changes we might see following a $15 minimum wage. Number 1. Self-service kiosks. Kiosks are already popular in higher-cost European and Asian countries. In 2011, McDonald's ordered 7,000 kiosks to replace full-service employees. Number 2. Fewer job opportunities. Over 4 million people in the U.S. are employed at, quote, limited-service restaurants. If one out of every 4 jobs is automated, that's 1 million fewer job opportunities. Number 3. Fewer opportunities for young workers. People who work minimum wage jobs are disproportionately young. 50.4% are ages 16 to 24. 24% are teenagers. The youth unemployment rate is already more than 3 times the overall unemployment rate. Because $15 for minimum wage is relatively new, we'll have to wait and see how this affects employment long term.